Well, it's nice to be with you, and we look to the Lord for His help and blessing during these days and as well, and that the time here might be to profit and to the Lord's glory. Now, as you're aware, my name is Roland Pickering. I sometimes get a shortened version of Roly, and a few other thrown in between. But whatever, I'm happy with it. And I trust that we will be helped of the Lord, because above and beyond anything, that's what we need. Now, for this occasion, we had said that we'd speak a little in relation to the believer as a sheep in the flock. And to do that, as you would know, we'll turn to John chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Look down to verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now that's all we want to read with the Lord's blessing. When you read the scriptures, I think we would all admit that we find a God of variety. In every facet, in every feature, there is great variety. And when it comes to the description of a believer, of those who belong to the Lord Jesus, there is a great variety of pictures and of illustrations that are given. You know, we can think of believers described as saints, as soldiers. You think of servants. You think of sons. We're described as being stones. We're looked upon as being stewards. And here, where we have read, it's the great illustration of being a sheep. There's something lovely about that. The sheep in the flock. And where we have read in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus brings before us some great things in relation to you and I as those who are the sheep of his pasture. Those of whom we can speak of as the shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to mention, first of all, you know, that when you think of the sheep, you think of the sheep that has been found. I love to think about that we have been found. You know, the scripture in Luke chapter 15, where the Lord Jesus spoke in that great parable, when he said, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" And there is a something about that word "until." No giving up, no giving in, until he found it. And so we have the thought of the sheep that has been found. The Lord Jesus, in verse 3 here, he speaks of his own sheep. Now, of course, we weren't always that, were we? Once we were lost sheep. Once we were, as Isaiah 53 and 6 describes, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Once we were all as lost sheep. But thank God we've been found. And we've been found by the shepherd himself. Found by him. John chapter 1. That great chapter where we find different people being brought and introduced to the Lord Jesus. In John 1, we read that the next day Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. And he saith unto him, "Follow me." That was a great day when Philip was found by him. It was a great day for you and for me as well, when he found us, and when in return we found him. Because, you know, the same Philip could speak to Nathanael and he could say, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth." We have found him. So to be found by him is something of a great privilege. And then not only that, I thought about being found in him. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, or chapter 3 rather, in verse 9, where Paul says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Found in him. What a position. It is a great word. It's very small. I know you can't get much smaller, but the little word "in" is very special in the writings of the epistles by the great apostle Paul. And to think today that we are in him. Paul says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law." You see, once he had a works righteousness that he depended on, but now he has a faith righteousness. "Be found in him," he says, "not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." We've been found by him. We're found in him. And you know, if Philip says, and Paul says,
Peter adds something more to it. For Peter says, and be found of him in peace. To be found of him in peace. That's you and I today. As those who are in the flock, the sheep of his pasture, found. That's the first thing I want to emphasize. Found by him. There's an old hymn that sometimes we sing. He found me with a burden and he lifted it from me. He found me bound and fettered and he gave me liberty. He found me in the darkness and he caused the light to shine. It's a great thing to have been found. But then, these sheep are not only found in John 10, but these sheep are favored. He says, they're my sheep. You get that, of course, further down in verse 28 as well. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So they're favored. How favored we are to have a shepherd. I sometimes think of what the Lord says in John 10 about his own. He says, my sheep. And then I contrast that with Psalm 23, where David says, my shepherd. It's a marvelous thought to think that he speaks of you and I. And he says, you're my sheep. And we in turn can say, he's my shepherd. How favored we are. You know, there's multitudes in the world today that have no shepherd at all. In Matthew chapter 9, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion as they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The great shepherd was moved as he saw the multitudes who had no shepherd at all. They were weak. They fainted. They were wandering. They were scattered abroad. But the great thing is this, that the one who was moved with compassion that day and the one who saw them, he was the one who could lift them, although they were weak, and he was the one who could lead them, although they were wandering. And he's still the same today. There's multitudes with no shepherd. It's something to be able, isn't it? To know and experience that we belong to the shepherd of all shepherds. Israel, you know, way back in the past, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 34, you read there about heartless, lazy shepherds. If you read the first verses of Ezekiel 34, you will find that there were shepherds then in Israel, pastors, another name for them, who were heartless. They didn't feed the sheep. They didn't tend the broken. They didn't in any way heal those that were diseased. They were heartless, lazy shepherds. You know, when you come right down and think of a coming day when Israel will yet experience the idol shepherd, that's a day that's coming. You know, you'll find that in the book of Zechariah chapter 11, when Israel will yet experience the idol shepherd, and that is another name for the Antichrist of a coming day. And the nation and the people that refused the good shepherd when he came to them will one day experience the awfulness of the idol shepherd who will wreak havoc upon that people in a coming day of tribulation. But you know, today, we have the shepherd. There were idol shepherds. There were those that were lazy shepherds. But we have the shepherd. We have the shepherd, you know, today, who was promised way back as far as Genesis chapter 49. When Jacob was blessing his sons, and he speaks in relation to Judah. And he says of Judah, from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. That was an amazing prophecy, wasn't it? You know, in that single sentence, and in that single prophecy of Jacob in Genesis 49, there is brought together the first advent and the second advent of the Lord Jesus when he says, from thence is the shepherd. That's when he came to Bethlehem, the stone of Israel. That's when he'll come as the sovereign to set up his kingdom. We have the shepherd who was promised. And yet we have the shepherd who was punished. Zechariah 13. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn mine hand again upon the little ones. That's the wonder of it all, isn't it? That the shepherd died for the sheep. And the one who was prophesied, the shepherd, from thence is the shepherd, was the one who was punished and pierced upon the cross. The one that we've remembered in the earlier part. And how lovely, before I leave this, just to remind our hearts that we are favored because it's something that's very personal. The uniqueness of my shepherd. So you have the sheep that are found. And then you have the sheep that are favored. When you look at verse 4, you would see there the sheep that are following. You know, it says that he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Found we are, and favored we are, but following we should be. Following. If you read through the Gospels, it's just interesting to underscore the many times that the Lord Jesus used the words, follow me. Very simple, follow me. You know, there is the call to follow. When it tells us there that the sheep hear his voice. We read verse 16. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, he says, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. The call of the shepherd. Following. You can think of the course. He leadeth them out. He goeth before them. My, it's lovely, isn't it? My, he says, and they follow me. Isn't it Peter that says that we should follow his steps? Isn't it John that says that we should follow after him? He's the one who is out in front, the following. But then that leads me on to the thought, you know, that we're not only following, but I love this, you know, that we're familiar to him. Did you notice those little phrases that are used? It says that they'll hear his voice in verse 3. Shall hear his voice. It says there again in verse 4, it says that they know his voice. They hear his voice. They know his voice. It says here in relation to these sheep that he knows their name. It tells us he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. How familiar. How familiar we are to him. You know, it's a marvelous thought, isn't it, that he knows us individually. He knows us completely. The psalmist said that there's not a thought, but thou knowest it altogether. And here there is the shepherd, and he speaks about the sheep, and he says they hear his voice, but they not only hear his voice, they know his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He knows their name. You know, when you think of an Eastern setting of which you have to bring this to, and the shepherd and the sheep, and if you think of the evening drawing on, and a shepherd comes with his flock, and there's a fold, and he puts them into the fold, and another shepherd comes with his flock, and he does the same. And before the sun goes down, there's five or six flocks of sheep in this one fold. And then one of those shepherds decides to leave early in the morning. How does he get his sheep out of that fold? They're all mixed through each other. But he wants to leave and he wants to go on. Do you know, he just stands at the door and he calls and they hear his voice. And there's a twisting and a turning and a moving of the sheep in that fold, and those that are his, they come out through the door and he leadeth them out, for they know his voice. And the voice of the stranger, will they not follow? They know his voice. Do you remember that morning in John chapter 21? When Peter and those six others had gone fishing. And the Bible says that when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. And he spoke to them. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. At the first they didn't know who it was, you see. But it was John. John said, it is the Lord. It is the Lord, he says. For John knew his
voice. When he spoke, it is the Lord.
I love to think of that morning of resurrection in the garden when Mary stood without at the tomb weeping. And there she was looking in, and the Lord behind her, and she didn't know. She thought, you remember, that he was the gardener. And you recall that he just said, Mary. And you remember how that she said, Rabboni, Master. There you have. He calleth his own sheep by name. He said, Mary. And she was one of his sheep. They hear his voice. They know his voice. There's something familiar. Is it not a great thing, you know, in the world in which we live, and you would know that there are many voices that call. And there are many voices that clamor for your attention in the world in which we live. It's a great thing, isn't it? In the midst of it all, to hear his voice. Do you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? When the Lord spoke and that word came. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him. And the word really there, as far as I know, it means go on listening to him. You see, they would have to come down from the mountain and they would have to go into the valley and the hustle and the bustle of life and the everyday circumstances. But the word was, hear him. Go on listening to him. Familiar? But I come to this. If the sheep are found, as we have thought, and the sheep are favored and they're following and they're familiar, you know, you could think about the food, couldn't you? They shall go in and out and find pasture. There's a lovely verse from Isaiah chapter 40. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Isaiah 40, I think it's verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. There's the food. The Bible speaks about the milk and the meat. I'm not going into that, but you know, going back to the illustration of the Eastern shepherd who led the sheep, as you know, who was out in front of them. There are shepherds in Ireland, you know, but they maybe are not always out in front of the sheep. You know, the shepherds of our day in different parts of the world, the sheep don't always follow them, but in the Eastern custom and the way it was that the sheep were following. If you imagine a shepherd leading his flock, and as he moves along with the crook in his hand, sometimes you see on different trees there are berries that grow, and he would lift that crook and he would pull down the branch and he would pull some of those berries from the tree. And he would turn his hand behind him, and the sheep would run up, you see, and they would eat the berries out of his hand. And you ask yourself the question, which of the sheep get the berries? And it's simple, isn't it? It's the sheep that's following closest to the shepherd. And that's how it is. The sheep that are the best fed are the sheep that are following closest to the shepherd. Isn't it true that it's still that way? And there is a something in relation to the believer, to you and I, as we move through this world, a closeness to the shepherd. You know, there are things that you can learn from him that you'll never learn from any man that stands up here. There are things that are unique to him. But very quickly, there's one thing that we dare not miss in all of this. And all of those things are so true. But we have to face reality. And in this chapter, if all these great things are brought before us, and they are, there is something else that we all need to take stock of, and that is this, that there are the foes, the enemies. And there's at least four enemies here in these verses, the foes that are against us, that are against the sheep. And I'll just mention them very briefly. You have the stranger in verse 5. A stranger will they not follow. I want you to notice just a little comparison that to all of these different foes, of which there are four here listed, the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is the direct opposite of all these four different foes. And if, first of all, there is the stranger in verse 5, what does the stranger seek to do? He seeks to deceive. A stranger will they not follow. But isn't it lovely to think today that if the stranger deceives and would lead the wrong direction, the shepherd guides. He's the great guide. Now, there's much we could say on that, but just for the sake of time, just to mention these before I close. The stranger deceives in verse 5. You've got another foe, another enemy. There in verse 10, you've got the thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so the thief seeks to destroy. But the shepherd gives. The thief, you see, he comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But the good shepherd is the direct opposite of all of that. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He's forever giving, you know. The thief destroys, the shepherd gives. Then you'll see there in verse 12, he speaks about the wolf. Right at the end of verse 12, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. And so the wolf disperses. He scatters the sheep. But the shepherd gathers. I quote again Isaiah 40 and verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd and shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them that are with young. The wolf disperses, he scatters them, but the shepherd gathers. He is gathering, isn't he? Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. He's still gathering. I've quoted verse 16 already, and you've read it. Them also I must bring. But number four, the fourth foe in these verses, you'll find in verse 12 and verse 13, the harling. The harling, he says here, and he that is in harling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. My, he sees the wolf coming and leaves and flees. He sees. He leaves. He flees. The harling deserts, but the shepherd guards. He'll never desert to his foes. What a shepherd. There are the foes. And you know, dear brethren and sisters, today the world hasn't changed. And those foes are still around. And those enemies are still around. And there's still the stranger that would deceive, and the thief that would destroy, and the wolf that would disperse, and the harling that would desert. And so we need to cleave and cling to the shepherd. But as I close, there's just one last thought about the sheep. And that's the future of the sheep. And that's in verse 16. What's the future? The end of the verse. There shall be one fold. The word really is flock. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. That's the future. One flock, one shepherd. You know, when all are gathered, for every sheep that he lifts, he will land them safe in heaven. And in that coming day, there'll be one flock, not the fold, it's the flock. You see, in heaven, there's no such thing as the thought of a fold or a fence. A fold or a fence is to keep the sheep in. But when you get to heaven, nobody will want out, will they? There's no need for a fence. There's no need for a fold. There's the shepherd. And the great fact is this, you know, that we'll be taken up with the shepherd. The one flock, the one shepherd. Some of you, I'm sure, have been to Westminster Abbey in London. And if you go through the main door, there is a slab that commemorates Churchill and some details of Churchill's life. He wasn't buried there. They would have buried Churchill there in Westminster Abbey, but he didn't want to be buried there. He wanted to be buried in a little place about a mile from where he was born. But I'll tell you who is buried there. David Livingstone. Who came from Blantyre in Scotland. And David Livingstone was buried there in 1873. I stood one morning and read all that was on the stone, the slab that marks where he was buried. And you know what's lovely? John 10 and verse 16 is written on that stone. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear his voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. What a future, shall we pray?